Check one.
Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our life to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude. We're moving, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
College Ball Show returns. I'm Chris, and he's Marshall, and we're here to discuss everything having to do with college football. And, you know, it's kind of a hate-love thing. I love me some college football, obviously. And I hate the end of summer. So you kind of get stuck in a little bit of rut for about 10 days. You know, I'm up here in Minnesota, so summer is like, you know, a rarity, let's put it that way. So it's kind of springing on us quick. That week zero shit had me all messed up last week. I'm thinking, you know, Sunday night, there's the big game. There's Oklahoma. Oklahoma's facing Houston. Not that that's really a big game, but I started thinking about Monday night, and I thought, oh, wait a second. It's not week one. It's week zero. And, you know, I think that week zero, we've been talking about week zero for the last couple of years. I don't really think there's a need for it. I understand why college football wanted, the NCAA, I should say, wanted some marquee match, you know, a marquee matchup with Miami and Florida. If you think, actually, their rating was like their third best rating on ESPN in the last 3 years. I think it was the best start in quite a while. So it made sense there, but 150 years of college football, you know, before the NFL took over the whole sports landscape, obviously baseball and boxing and horse racing ran a lot of it as far as from professional standpoint, you know, for sports, but college football has been there and done that for so long. Like I said, 150 years. And it just really adds up when you look at all these long, ongoing rivalries. It's pretty crazy. But I think as far as the week zero, just to put a bow on it, I think if you look at the play and how poor the play was on both sides, I think Miami deserved to lose the game, you know, at the end of the day. I guess you could say Florida did their best offensively to lose as well, but it was just ugly. It was ugly, and I've noticed that in some of these other games. But anyway, welcome back to another season of college football. Marshall and I have been doing this college ball show for quite some time now, and we're happy to be back, no doubt about it. And if this is your first time hearing the college ball show, it runs from, well, right now, late August, all the way to the national championship for college football. But we call it the College Ball Show because it turns into a college basketball show, because it's college ball, after college football is done. So mid-January. So we're not even going to think that far ahead. I'm not ready for the snow just yet. But here we are with another one. Okay? And by the way, the College Ball Show streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. So it streams live and archives right here under the Ropeadope Radio podcast umbrella. So you can hear the College Ball Show under the Ropeadope Radio podcast umbrella on iTunes, Player FM, Stitcher, Spreaker, really all over the place. We're part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. That can be found all over the place, including iHeartRadio, by the way. Spotify is included in that as well for both. You can use Siri and Alexa through TuneIn and Spotify to find the College Ball Show. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. We also post the show there. You can check that right now, betdsi.eu. They have a promo code TGT. That's a sponsor over there at thegruelingtruth.net. That's betdsi.eu, and TGT is the promo code. So, what do we got here? Obviously, we're going to talk about, well, you know, can Clemson repeat? There's already been Urban Meyer was already misquoted, but you know how the media, especially ESPN, will hear a quote or hear something or half hear something and just run with it. They're already doing that with one of his comments. We'll get into that a moment, but Clemson's chances at repeating. Obviously, Clemson coming off that crazy blowout win over Alabama, of all teams to blow out in the title game. That was pretty crazy. We'll talk a little Heisman talk, little win totals, over and under, just a variety of stuff. Obviously, we're going to dig into preview and predicting, talking about the betting lines as well for all the marquee matchups and some of the games flying under the radar for the week one. We got number 11 Oregon versus number 16 Auburn, Stanford and Northwestern, Florida State, Boise State, Virginia Tech on the road at Boston College, USC and Fresno. That's a really interesting game, and a variety of other games that we'll speak to as well. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host and see how he is doing. What's going on, Marshall? How the hell are you, buddy?
Not too bad, brother. Second week of school, so we're back to teaching the young minds of the world, and basketball season starts in a couple of months, but it's been a stress-free 7 days of school so far, so I can't complain too much about life. I was able, you know, so a little bit of news I haven't told you. I'm seeing a new person, and or seeing a new girl, and she's got some little kids. So, my parents always told me, you know, once you like have kids or see small kids, your viewing ship will go down of sports. I plan on watching a large majority of the Florida State Miami game. Miami Florida. I wanted to, but you know, when you have to go to the mall and have little kids around, then you have to watch the 1 year old. I mean, you know, I saw about 8 plays. My parents were pretty damn truthful, and they said if you have kids, your sport time will go down. I might have to run away on Cowboy games and just say I'm not currently available to be with the girlfriend. But besides that, man, life's pretty good. I can't complain. And obviously it's fun to have football back. You're talking about the games early. I don't recall ever having a year where the Friday is so full. I know there's normally probably Friday games, but man, this Friday, there's like 20, 30 damn games this Friday night, Chris. Not to mention Saturday is a full day too. So it seems like every sport, whether it be football, baseball, hockey, even golf now is switching stuff around. It seems like every sport nowadays is trying to start their season a little bit sooner and kind of get the fans into it a little bit quicker. Now with college football, the fans are going to come out every year. I don't really think it's maybe much of an issue for, you know, getting people attached to the sport. But nonetheless, I guess, hey, if you can offer more games on a variety of different days for that first weekend, and as you said, week zero, I'm sure nowadays marketing people suggest it. So, as you said, a lot of football to talk about. The win total stuff, we'll get to that later. That's kind of fun stuff. You still have a couple of days to get those bets in. Those win total bets don't go – they don't lock up until the team starts their season. So, yeah, man, this is year probably – 7 or 8 or 9, I don't know. We've been doing it for a long time, my friend. So it'll be nice to get another year going.
Yeah, I think this is the 9th year. I think it was 2010 when we started it. So it's the 9th year.
That sounds about right. Amen.
That's freaking crazy, man. But
we're getting old, brother. We're getting old.
yeah, right? But you're right. There are some really interesting matchups that Friday along with the Saturday. And, you know, there's always been those Thursday games. You know, they start them out pretty early on Thursday. And that's definitely the case. Kind of an interesting game, BYU and Utah. Utah on the road. A lot of people talking about Utah. Of course, their defense and run game. Can they put it all together? It'd be interesting to see how that Pac-12 shapes up. And we definitely go through the conferences as we break this thing down. But real quick, because I did get to see that Miami and Florida game, it felt like week zero. It really did. And I know they start a handful, like 5 days earlier than all the rest of the other teams. And both sides have to do it. So, you know, I cheer for the Hurricanes. So I'm not the type to, like, let my emotion get in the way and be like, this is why we lost the game. It has nothing to do with that. But if you look at the game itself, it was trash. Like, a lot of it was really bad football. And you figure it's one thing to have that first game of the season. To have it against a good team as well, always, you know, sometimes when it's great against great or top level against top level or whatever, rivalry, whatever the case may be, we always get some of these, you know, matchups in week one we can sink our teeth into. Obviously, Oregon-Auburn kind of stands out as the it game. It's not like there's four of them ranked versus ranked. Not that the rankings really mean a whole lot as we've come out, you know, to find out, but when you go good against good, which is, you know, if you just look at recruiting and defense, that's Miami and Florida. You know, Miami and Florida have great defenses. And, you know, Florida had to replace, I think, three out of their five offensive linemen. And Miami, you know, replaced some stuff. They got a new coordinator, got a brand new, like a redshirt freshman who didn't get to play because he redshirted last year. So it was already going to be tough slaying for the offense as it was going to be regardless, even if it's week seven. But that week zero, it was ugly, dude. There were some times where you're like, hey, man, I understand both these defenses are good or great or whatever. If you look at the last chunk of years, they've been one of the top, you know, in there. But, man, some of the stuff was just – it's just like, yeah, this is definitely week zero. And this is why we don't need that. But as far as my team playing, whether it's the Gophers or the Hurricanes, whatever, I prefer my squad to play somebody just to get it out of their system and then play a tough game somewhere in the non-conference. That's just me preferably. I know it's even for both teams. But yeah, it was all over the place. It was definitely a game that was winnable. And both offenses seemed to want to give it away and just couldn't quite do it all the way. Miami goes down 24-20. They definitely – actually, you spoke about this in the text message that you texted me a while ago about this game, and really came down to a lot of experience on Florida, but especially on their offensive – their offense, their skill players and stuff like that. So – like I said, Miami, I think they're in good hands with their offensive coordinator, like in general, but it is the first year. And like I said, the two quarterbacks that they had or that they have with playing time, you know, from last year, both those don't fit this new system as good as the redshirt freshman. That's why he won the job, but he just kind of got thrown into the wolves' den, you know, with that Florida defense. So he played all right, actually, Williams, but it was a competitive game, definitely a game that was winnable for either side all the way down to the wire. So that was interesting. Like I said, it was just pretty ugly. It was just pretty ugly. I talked about, you know, the potential for Clemson to repeat. We realize how hard it is to repeat, especially now, you know, with basically everybody that counts having a conference final and having the extra game. I think it makes it that much harder to repeat with that Final Four semifinal, you know, format that they've had for a chunk of years now. So talking about that, you know, what are the chances that Clemson could repeat Marshall? It's kind of a question that I'll add a little to and pass it to you. You know, there, obviously we know the big thing that stands out is defensive line, right? Obviously. However, because, you know, they lost all four of them. And because we were all amazed that they brought them three out of the four back that were eligible and would have been first-round picks the year previous. In fact, one dude, because he got caught with some random PED stuff or some supplement that had some, you know, banned stuff in it, he actually dropped in a draft. He, if he would have just went pro, he wouldn't have had that problem. Or at least, you know, they would have detected it, whatever. But, you know, I remember a chunk of years ago where it was like, oh, you know, Clemson's got to replace seven starters on a stellar defense, and it didn't seem like they missed a beat at all. And sure, they missed, you know, they lose all four of their defensive line, like I just mentioned. However, it's not like they haven't been recruiting, you know? And if they can replace seven or nine guys overall and come back and have just as good as defense like they did a handful of years ago, all it means is those guys got some playing time. They got stronger. They got bigger. They got better on the line than they probably would have going into last year, missing three guys. You know what I mean? So I don't, you know, I haven't been to Clemson's practice. I've been watching their ends and if they can get off the corner, you know. But like I said, this is Clemson. This is, you know, Dabo. He's been doing his thing, dude. So what are the odds that they repeat one? Because obviously they got to be feeling good about themselves with that blowout win over, you know, the what is becoming a major rivalry with Clemson and Bama. And now they've won two out of the three against them when they've been matched up, which is, you know, saying something under Saban. That's for sure, since Bama's, you know, since it's been at Bama.
Never should have fired Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, right? What are your thoughts on the repeat? And it just seems like it's even – it was already harder because you're going to lose some talent more than likely, but in college football, just in general. But, dude, like, to have that extra game now, that makes it even tougher to repeat, in my opinion. What are your thoughts on, you know – Clemson repeating in the fact that I remember what, 5, 6, 7 years ago, a couple of years into this show, you know, it used to be called Clemson. You get to 7-0 and then you'd end up like, you know, 9-3. And those days are long gone. And the only thing coming out of Clemson now is positivity. They got what many people think is the number one pick in the draft. If he went this year, right there with Tua, what are your thoughts on this Clemson squad, and can they, you know, I was going to say tear down the nets, but that's not what they do. That's college basketball. And also, ACC, they got an easier path, obviously, to get into that semifinal than some of these other squads, including the SEC, obviously.
Yeah, speaking from a gambling standpoint, which if you've never listened to our show, we'll try to fit in gambling as much as I can. I may or may not have a problem. I enjoy betting on football. Baseball and WNBA have been treating me well. So hopefully my football season goes as good as my baseball and ladies basketball has been going. But from the gambling standpoint, they're like over a 20-point favorite in every game but two. So that alone tells you the odds of a repeat are pretty good. Last year you had the scare against Syracuse where the quarterback got hurt, but they, you know, were able to get it out. This year the two kind of close games are Syracuse and South Carolina, and I think even those are like 12 or 13 point favorites. So just speaking from a you're walking up to make a bet in Vegas, like if the lowest your favorite's 12 or 13 points, Chris, that says quite a bit. Now, if this team is in the Big Ten, there's no way that happens. If this team is in the SEC, there's no way. If you're in the Big 12, you're probably not going to get that much of a juice if you're playing Oklahoma or Texas or someone. So, as you mentioned, they're definitely in the easiest bracket. For any steps, though, that they may have lost slightly on defense, you now have Trevor Lawrence, you know, kind of looks like the sunshine from Remember the Titans. That kid's tremendous. Like last year, he was kind of hiding a little bit under, you know, the media love for Kyler Murray and Tua in Alabama, but any hiding he did do, that like disappeared in the national title game where he just went off on Bama. So maybe if you lost a little bit of a defensive line, you now have maybe one of the, maybe I can't say the best quarterback they've had because that'd be kind of a slap in the face to Deshaun Watson, but you have a very, very talented young quarterback at Clemson. So, you know, their offense is probably maybe a little bit better than it's been. So I think just from the standpoint of you're pretty much going to be a 10-point favorite minimum like the whole year, I think the repeat's definitely a possibility. And from the college football standpoint, you know, you really can't afford to lose games. I know, like, you know, it happens, but if you're, you know, you got to assume if you're Bama that Clemson's probably going to run the table. And there's going to be maybe an Ohio State or some other team that's going to maybe run the table too. So even though it'd be one loss, you know, I think from a Clemson and Alabama standpoint, those teams probably go on the season, Chris, thinking, okay, we're just going to run the table. We'll get the one seed and we'll do our stuff. Now, I'm not saying that if Bama or Clemson were to lose, like, their season's over, but I think the mindset's probably to go undefeated, and I think their odds of doing it are pretty good. I would lean towards undefeated season. Now, obviously, an injury to Trevor Lawrence changes things drastically, but I think it's definitely possible. It's hard to do, and you have your rivalries and you have your off weeks, but when you're so much heavily more talented than everyone else in your division, it's not unheard to think they'd go 12-0 again, my friend. I would bet towards it. Not a lot, but I would lean towards them running the table again.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing I'll say about Clemson is they usually stumble on something within the first, 4 to 6 weeks, something like that, halfway through the season.
Yeah.
They'll stumble
a
little bit.
And that's week three.
Okay. That correlates nicely. That's interesting, man. It's hard not to look at their schedule and go, well, dude, I mean, you're in pretty good shape. And then also, you know, if they do need time with that defensive line a little bit, you know, they'll have it. And I think some of it will be by committee. I'm sure they're deep on that in general. Like I said, sometimes it's really good to have that extra depth because then it gives these young dudes some time to get a little bit stronger. Maybe you can redshirt them or whatever. So, when you look at their schedule, like you said, out of the top tier squads, those seem to be, you know, that they seem to be right in the mix as far as that goes. As far as just Heisman talk, obviously you mentioned, you know, Trevor Lawrence, Tua, Jonathan Taylor, the running back out of Wisconsin. You got to just throw him on there. Wisconsin is good for like an 11-win, you know, season every chunk of years, right? Every 2-3 years, they come out and roll out a bunch of wins. Justin Herbert is something that, you know, from Oregon, that's another guy that a lot of people talk about how, hey, you look at his stats. When he's on the field, he did get banged up last year, but when he was on the field, they were a damn good team. It does kind of seem like they're inching back to what the Ducks were a chunk of years ago. You have like the Jake Fromm now in his third year, basically as a full-time starter, definitely the back-to-back years now with Georgia. And you got to look at Georgia on that side. That side on the East is getting more difficult than it was, say, 3-4 years ago, that's for sure. But they could, you know, they could stay. That side of it is winnable. And if you're going to be undefeated or one loss, the quarterback, they eye up the quarterback on the Heisman, obviously. Another couple of quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma. There's another guy that, you know, is ready-made. I mean, if you look at Oklahoma, dude, this is just – it's getting sickening at this point. I mean, sure, they don't play fucking defense, and that's sickening in its own right. But if you look at from quarterback to quarterback to quarterback, and three of them have been transfers now that I think about it. And it's just like plug and play, and now we got another plug and play. What is he, 26-2? as a college, something like that, has a title, a national title. It's crazy, dude. And so you know he's got a chance right there as well. And Sam Ellinger from Texas. Texas is in the top 10. They closed strong last year, got to I think 10 wins. He's a guy that you got to at least look because of his multi-purpose games. He's not going to throw, 48 touchdowns this year, but he'll give you 25 to 30 maybe, and he may run in 20. So he's going to be kind of that all-purpose, player that you got to at least take a gander at. And, just talking about Clemson and Dabo Swinney, that destructive manner over Bama. If you look at the last 3 years under the guidance of, Dabo Swinney, the most wins versus Associated Press top 25 teams, 14-2 in the last 3 years. And Saban's 14-3. I can't remember who's just barely, I think they were like 7-6, but everybody else is 500 and below. If you look at Harbaugh, we're going to talk a little bit about him. We'll definitely talk about him during the season, that's for sure. The seat, he's got a hot seat coming in a little bit last year. Now that seat has been brought up, and it's boiling. It is on a boil right now, dude. And because they got their ass kicked, speaking of Michigan last year, they got their ass kicked against, Ohio State. And it seemed like they had started to put it all together, this, that, and the third. I don't know, man. Like I said, his seat is getting hot, Harbaugh's. And I have a stat that I want to – so against his rivals, Michigan State and Ohio State, since he's been there, he's 2-6. And his last 10 games against the top 10 – now, it's the top 10, okay? It's not top 25 teams. And I just said in the last 3 years, there's only been three coaches that are even over 500. But 1-9 against the top 10 teams at Michigan. Now, some of them, they were starting to turn the corner and all that. So you got kind of – sometimes stats can be misleading, obviously. But I'd have to say that hot seat is pretty damn hot there in Michigan and Ann Arbor. What are your thoughts on maybe a couple other Heisman candidates or maybe some of the guys leading your way off the list I gave you? And then, like I said, I mean, freaking Harbaugh is definitely on the hot seat, man. He needs to – they got to beat Ohio State. There's just no way around it.
Yeah, and, they keep trotting out, like, phenomenal defenses. You hear that every year on ESPN
right.
or any podcast or whatever about how Michigan has an elite defense. And they probably do – but he's never been able to figure out his offense quite good enough because if the offense was above average, he would have a little bit of a better record or contend more for a Final Four spot or, find a way to beat Ohio State. Maybe, Meyer's gone. People seem to speak pretty highly of Ryan Day, the new football coach at Ohio State, but maybe with Meyer gone, that increases your chances. I'm obviously not a fan of Meyer. If you've listened to our podcast forever, you know that. But, like, for big games, that guy almost never lost any. I mean, not that Meyer's undefeated, but if there was ever any type of angle he could build up with his players, any rivalry game, Meyer's track record is about damn good as Saban's and Dabo.
Yeah.
And I guess he's been even better for a little bit longer than Dabo Swinney. So maybe that gives you some hope. Again, I'm sure Michigan's defense, I'm sure they had some guys go pro. I'm sure they'll have some guys go pro again after this year. But you just got to, again, find a way to beat Ohio State because that's really normally the only school that ever does cause them issues. I know that every once in a while they'll have a weird, weird, crazy-ass game with Michigan State. Sparty will give them issues. But they're normally contending for a Final Four spot throughout the season. But it all comes down to beating Ohio State because that game normally determines who's going to win that side of the division. And if you win that game, then you're in the Big Ten playoff game. Then you have a chance for a Final Four spot, But it's that beat Ohio State part that never seems to happen. and it's kind of a little bit similar to the Les Miles LSU thing, where Les Miles LSU normally always had a really good team, but they had issues ever being Saban. You know, so as a fan base, are you really going to be upset if you have a guy that gives you 10 or 9 or 10 wins every year? Well, if you can't beat your arch rival, that's kind of a part of college football where, fair or not, you know, you got to go if you can't get it done. And that's kind of the conundrum Harbaugh's in, where, you know, your team could win 9 or 10 games again this year, but if you lose to Ohio State again, how many more times is Michigan going to say, well, maybe get them next year? You know, I'm with you, Chris. I'm sure the defense will be stellar again. Maybe his offense will be better this year. Maybe he's got a better quarterback. I don't know. But it's kind of the same damn crap every year on repeat of they're a great team, they'll win 9 or 10, and they'll lose to Ohio State, and we're back to where, you know, we can fast forward a year on our podcast where we can talk about the same thing next year. You know, I would assume that's how it would go. Aside from Michigan, again, I think the Heisman race, it would be dumb not to consider Jalen Hurts because, you know, drawing a blank? The Oklahoma
track
coach.
It's the quarterback guru now,
Lincoln Riley. He's produced two Heismans in a row. So I think Jalen Hurts is a contender. Obviously, though, you got to look at Trevor Lawrence and Tua. I think Tua Tagovailoa, I think that's pretty sharp for week one, is probably going to have a little bit of a bulletin board in his head, you know, of wanting the Heisman. I think last year he would have got that in a landslide if he had played a little more. Again, taking nothing away from Kyler Murray, who had a hell of a year. But there were so many games last year where Tua was out one possession into the third quarter. I mean, he skipped probably 12 or 13 quarters last year of football, which you almost never see for a Heisman candidate. So imagine how good his numbers could have been if he played an extra, 120 minutes of football or something to that effect, you know. So I'd imagine he'd be the favorite for it. And Trevor Lawrence, we mentioned how weak his schedule is of tough caliber teams. Well, hell, if you're going to be a 12-point to 20-point favorite in every game, you're probably going to rack up pretty good numbers, Chris, I would say. So I'd expect those three to be the top three. Maybe some guy kind of sneaks onto the scene and impresses us, but those guys are probably your betting favorites going into the Heisman race, my friend.
Yeah, and Tua, and you know, just kind of piggybacking off what you said, Lawrence may have the Tua effect because they're blowing people out so much and not get as much playing time because, you know, they're up so much and why they're not going to give a shit about the Heisman. So it may actually have the opposite effect on, you know, this year. And
true.
You know, Tua has I'd say he has the better wide receivers too, because they got a stud, but they have another stud too at wide receivers. So, yeah, man, that's kind of interesting. And by the way, you brought up Urban Meyer because that's one of your favorite coaches of all time. Of course, I'm just kidding.
Oh yeah,
he'll recruit them all. He'll recruit them all. You know, nice guys, church guys, murderers. He'll recruit them all. I figured you'd like that one. But, he got misquoted, though. And, you know, freaking ESPN don't give two shits, and everybody else, too, by the way. But he said they got Trevor Lawrence the best QB, but he said, however, he didn't say the best QB ever. He said, however, the rest of their team were going to – you know, see if they can repeat because they did have losses. So that was like a big deal. I saw it quoted and all that. I literally saw a big thing on there saying the quote. And I'm like, dude, you're literally misquoting him, dude. Listen to it. And it is kind of hard to hear. Like, I could understand why people need to rewind it because it does however, it is kind of under his breath. But he would have made – if he was going to say Trevor Lawrence the best quarterback in college football history ever, he would have, like, expanded upon that. You know what I mean? But he didn't.
Yeah.
Then his next thing was, however, they have the rest of the team, and they know that, you know, people lost talent. They also have that running back, Eltian, or I can't remember his name, but he had a big year last year, and he should have another big year. They always have skilled positions as well. I still think Bama's, you know, deeper when it comes to that. But that's something that was just kind of goofy. It was kind of like, all right, dude, let's calm down. Let's calm down. Like I said, we will start to break down some of these games: Oregon, Auburn, Stanford, Northwestern, Florida State, Boise State, Utah State, and Wake Forest is one of those kind of under the radar games. Hardcore barn burners, whatever you want to call them. Ole Miss and Memphis, that could be good. Virginia Tech, Boston College. Really kind of eyeballing that Fresno State 13.5 points as far as the spread against USC. Couple other items that we'll get to as well. Real quick, though, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you already have, try AT&T Now. It's not DirecTV Now. It's AT&T Now. There's no annual contract, 7-day free trial. The plans start as low as $50. HBO is included in the Plus and Max deals. If you're cutting the cord or have and not happy, you need some cable. You got college football coming around, and you need to have some ESPN action and all the FS1 and all that good stuff. Try AT&T Now. Like I said, 7-day free trial is just sitting there. They got the cloud DVR. I'm using it. I believe in it. I'm not sitting there telling you it's the best thing since, you know, sliced bread, but it's pretty good. Anyway, you want to hit up these win total stuff. I know you want to talk about some of these segments because you mentioned to me a while ago that you are seeing, and you know, it's funny because once you texted me that you're seeing a lot of win totals, you know, over-unders and all that, and talking about, hey, should that, you know, let's make a podcast segment on it and whatnot. And then it's funny because after you said that, I started looking even more, you know, from time to time, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. There is a lot of talk about that. Did you want to save that for the end, or should we kind of get to that right now before we start getting our betting tips and the predictions for all the games under the radar and some of the marquee matchups for week one? What are you thinking? Do you want to kind of give your opinion on some of this stuff?
Yeah, we can go for it now. Obviously, once we go for this, it's kind of over because after the first week, you can't get these bets in. It seems to be more of a trending thing of the past couple of years for bets. Now, the one thing that obviously scares you as a bettor is, like, you're kind of putting your money away for, like, a long-term investment. Now, like, people do this for football, NFL or baseball, you know, longer seasons, like at least college football, you know, hey, I'm hoping this team wins over under 7 games. Like, you get your money back in about 3.5 months. So it's not gone for too long of a time. We'll kind of just go through some. As I mentioned, Clemson and Bama, if you want to do a season win total for them, they have to be perfect. So if you were to bet Clemson and Alabama, their over-under season win total, and how that goes is you can pick over-under the number. A lot of times Vegas will give you a half. So Bama's over-under and Clemson's over-under win totals are 11.5. Again, for Clemson, it's, you know, pretty cut and dry. They're going to be favored big in every game. In Bama, you're going to need a little more effort out of them simply because they're division, Chris. And obviously we're not going to bet all these, but for the sake of it, how would you feel, you know, either way on those? For if you had to bet the season win totals for Clemson or Bama, would you bet, you know, that they lose a game, or would you roll the dice if they both have perfect seasons?
I would not roll the dice for Bama or Georgia, but I would roll the dice for Clemson.
Bama's 11 now, and that's changed. But,
oh, okay.
And there's a lot of juice. It's minus 175, which means you'd have to bet a lot of money. And that way, if you bet Bama, if they lose one game, you push. That used to be a
I see what you're saying.
You know,
I see the 11.5. Clemson's 11.5. Bama's 11. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And Ohio State's 10.5. Oklahoma's 10.5. Okay, I see what you're saying. I got a question. Is this regular season or is this overall?
This is regular season only. The bowl games aren't factored in. It's just a 12-game deal.
So the championship games aren't in either.
No, championship games aren't in. Neither are bowl games. One that I've been looking at that I'm leaning towards betting for fun this year, maybe like a couple hundred bucks, that I'll let you know, is Texas A&M. We'll go through this quickly. They're over under 7.5. So, you know, if they win 8 games, if you bet the over, you win. If they only win 7, you know, it depends on over under. But here's why I kind of like the under for Texas A&M. Okay. First game against Texas State, I'd say that's a win. But then you go to Clemson. Okay. That's going to be a hell of a hard game. You also play Auburn week 4. You also play Bama week 6. You also have to play Mississippi State. You also got to play South Carolina. Then you go at Georgia, at LSU to finish your season.
Week two
is Clemson. Week 4 is Auburn. Week 6 is Bama. After Bama, you go to Ole Miss, who maybe they could put up a fight. And then week 10 is South Carolina. Week 11 at Georgia. Week 12 at LSU. Who the hell wants to finish at Georgia, at LSU for the regular season, and your second game of the year is at Clemson? Like, I'm not seeing.
Did Johnny Manziel come back? Did Johnny Manziel come back and they're now, like, getting them in trouble for it or something? Like, do they not like Jimbo? Were they pissed that Jimbo left Florida State or something? Dumped on them. Holy shit. My goodness. I knew they had a tough schedule because I read it like a couple weeks ago, and all of a sudden when you brought that back up, I was like, oh, my God. Wow. And so they're at a 7.5, you say, though?
Yeah, 7.5. So, you know, I see you're probably at least losing 3 of those games. So that puts you at 9 at best. But, hell, Clemson and Bama are probably losses. And at Georgia, at LSU to finish your season, that's brutal. And then you have, you know, any other regular type of game. So I'm kind of leaning towards the under on Texas A&M. I don't think I'm, you know, that schedule is just insane. So moments like that.
Yeah, how do you judge that? How do you judge that as a fan? Like, oh, we won 8 games. Dude, that's a pretty damn good season, you know?
Yes, that would be a hell of a season for them to win 8 games in that schedule scenario. So if you're an A&M fan, get ready for a lot of – and you really don't get many – okay, they have easy games. They get a couple of weeks off there, but not many. You know, that's
not
a
enough.
Pretty damn brutal-ass schedule.
That's like the Gopher basketball program, the first 5 games of the Big Ten season, for Christ's sake, but way worse. Like on steroids.
Yes,
exactly.
I know. So a lot of times when people do this, they kind of just, you know, you use your best kind of forecasting idea of, okay, well, I think that they're going to win this game. And obviously you're making predictions. You're kind of looking at, you know, will they be a favored? You know, when's your bye week and all that.
Right.
We'll touch on a few more like top edge programs. We'll move on. You mentioned Ohio State. I believe their number has been at 10. It could be changing kind of based off the website you look at, but it's been at 10 for the most part I've seen. So, you know, you can only afford – if you'd have to win 11 games to cash your ticket. So they'd have to only have one loss. For Ohio State, they go to Nebraska for their Big Ten second game of the year. So that could be a challenging game. Nebraska is obviously hoping for a better year this year with Scott Frost. Then you have Michigan State the following week. Then you go to Northwestern. Then you host Wisconsin. A couple easy ones. And you got Penn State and Michigan. So, again, Ohio State is probably going to be favored in almost all of those games. But if you're betting a team to get over 10 wins, that's only on you one loss.
Yeah, and you see them 10-2 with that schedule.
Yeah, at Nebraska is going to be pretty tough. And then next week you play Sparty, who's always kind of that pain in the ass defensive team. At Northwestern's kind of weird. Then you got Wisconsin. That four-game stretch right there is brutal. And then you finish with Penn State and Michigan. And Penn State, I think they're going to be down this year. But them and Ohio State always seem to be a primetime Saturday night ABC 7 p.m.
Sure.
kickoff. And Penn State normally, for some reason, plays pretty well. So, again, if you're like an Ohio State, you're going to hope for a pretty damn good season from the new coach.
Right.
To go through just a few more to wrap this up, USC is over under seven wins. I think my team could start off like 1-5. USC, we'll go to their schedule, and then we can move on, and we'll kind of hit on this throughout the year, kind of patterns, and we do this naturally for teams, team seasons. But USC's schedule is scary. Okay, you mentioned Fresno State, who is down compared to what they normally are, so I hope that's a win, okay? Then USC has Stanford at home, and Stanford is normally always a team that beats us.
They're the big brother.
Then you go at BYU, which should be a win, but BYU is normally pretty scrappy. Then you host Utah. Many people think Utah is going to win the Pac-12. Then you go to Washington.
Jesus.
And then you go to Notre Dame. And then
of
you host Arizona and Khalil Tate. By then, someone's probably going to have stuff figured out. I guess you get an easy game with Colorado at there. Then you host Oregon, who should be better this year. Then you go to Herm Edwards. You go to Cal.
Which they should be better, too.
And you're UCLA. That's not – I don't see 8 wins there at all. And I don't really want to – bet my team finishes under a total, but if I'm a USC fan, besides the Fresno game where you're going to be a decent favorite and maybe going to Colorado, but that's probably not, you know, that's a pretty hard schedule. So I wouldn't be surprised, Chris, if we start off a podcast this year saying that Clay Helton's been fired. If we start off 2-4, and that by saying that, it means we lose to Stanford, Utah, Washington, Notre Dame, which is not unreasonable because Clay Helton can't win a big game to save his ass. You know, I wouldn't surprise me if he has to go. I was shocked last year, and I think you were surprised too, that they brought him back for another year after what he did last year, and they give you this schedule. Ugh. So that's just kind of a fun little breakdown. Again, you still got until your team plays. So if they play the first game Saturday,
Thursday,
I think that's a Friday night
to
go in and make those. But there's kind of fun bets to make for the whole year. Again, injuries can completely derail those bets, but it's becoming more popular. So just something to break down. And again, Clemson, if you think they'll go 12-0, go bet it. and then pray there's never any fluky days.
Right. And they, like we said, they tend to, within the first 6 weeks, have a fluky tight game. Boise State at 10. If they can get by Florida State, I think they got that. Army at 10, looking at Army football this year. I know that may sound funny to some people. You don't have to wait till late, you know, mid-December to just watch that one game, Army and Navy. They're a pretty good squad. I could see them getting to 11 wins. They're sitting at 10.
Absolutely. Yeah,
Florida's at 9. Florida might, you know, LSU and Florida are at 9. That's kind of interesting to me. I like Iowa at, I believe, 9 as well. I kind of like Iowa at 9. 8. I think they're 8. Wisconsin at
8.5.
Yeah, I think they're at 8. So I like Iowa at 8. Notre Dame's always got a tricky schedule. Iowa State at 8. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. They're at 8. Auburn's got a tough schedule, too. I know that. They seem to have a fucking tough schedule every year. somehow Bama fucking doesn't have a tough schedule for the last 10 years, but we'll get into that some other day. They're 7.5. I mean, jeez, yeah, that's kind of interesting, man. Yeah, we'll definitely have to keep tabs on that, no doubt about it. Why don't we jump right into what would be considered the biggest one, number 11, Oregon versus number 16 Auburn. This is prime time ABC Saturday night at Auburn. How do you see this one breaking down? Because, you know, Auburn, it's kind of just a mystery with their offense. You can have a bad year, you get over it, maybe you had some injuries, whatever. Quarterback didn't work out. It is what it is. But it just seems like the guy in charge over there usually has his shit together. They recruit well. They're a damn good team and all that. But it just seems like offensively, they just haven't been able to click these last, what, two, maybe 3 years, probably since that Marshall dude at quarterback. And it just, I don't know. Like, even when they've had a good transfer, they got that transfer from Baylor, it still wasn't that good of an offense, considering what Gus is capable of. In the past, some of his offenses were super explosive. I mean, Cam came through. There's a lot of people that came through there. So, I don't know, man. You know they're gonna, they got talent. They play in the SEC. They're a tough team. Oregon usually tries to find a top 25 defense. If that's the case, they're usually damn good. We talked about how they're looking like maybe they're going to turn the corner all the way. The quarterback has a lot to do with that too, if he could stay on the field. It's an interesting matchup this early in the season, no doubt about it. And, you know, we got to get it off right now. According to ESPN's Football Power Index, that's when you know it's late August, matchup predictor, Auburn 53.4 to Oregon 46.6, 3.5 points. So it's basically a pick'em game because of the 3-point home, you know, spread. How do you see this one playing out, my buddy?
I heard that Auburn's, you know, I think Melzon's got the offense a little more in control and figured out this year. So if that's the case, that's definitely a positive. Apparently last year, you know, we talked about Herbert, and I kind of wondered about him throughout the end of the year because he went from being a number one caliber pick to he came back for another year. Apparently he had a separated shoulder. I heard that. I never really heard that news break, but apparently that's maybe why his numbers kind of wandered off. But Oregon with the new coach has not exactly always won the big games on the road. So I'm leaning towards Auburn. I just think, you know, you probably got a little more organized of a head coach. Obviously, Oregon's probably got the quarterback advantage if the kid's healthy this year. You know, Ben, as you mentioned, betting these week one or week zero games are so dicey just because there's so many X factors that you can't really predict. You know, as you mentioned, it was a sloppy game. There's going to be sloppy plays all around. So I'm going to try to stay away just because I've done it before where you bet week one, you sit down and watch the game, you're like, holy crap, this is far from a college football game I expected to watch. So I will lean towards Auburn a little bit. I think maybe with Melzon having a little more idea and control of the offense, that's a minor advantage there. But maybe Herbert, if he's healthy, goes to show the form that he was showing last year that shows he's a top five-end caliber draft pick. So I'll flip a coin and take Auburn this week one, Chris. That's the best insight I got until we see the boys on the field. But it should be a fun game. At least we got two high-profile teams in a competitive matchup. But I'll lean Auburn.
Yeah, and the over-under is 56. If you flash back a chunk of years ago, that would be a low over-under for this game. But
oh,
I think it matches. I think it matches right now anyway. But I'm with you, too. I'm going to side with Auburn. It seems like Auburn finds a way to win these early games. So I'm going to go because they barely beat Washington last year, a couple years before. Oh, that was LSU and Oregon to start out the season now that I think about it. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to lean Auburn. But it's true, man. It's sometimes, like, you can pick and choose some games, but the first week or two and really the first month, if we're being honest, and that's why I love that they don't even introduce the real rankings till well into October. I just love that. And the last couple of years when they started doing that, it was like, wow, dude, this really proves the point that we've made for years, that a lot of these ratings, you just don't know, dude. You don't know with these rankings, and because there's so much turnover, and shit just happens. We're still dealing with 18 to 22 year olds. So, but I'm with you on that one. I think that, you know, Northwestern usually, you know, produces a good club. They had a nice year last year. It usually they're kind of like Iowa, where every 2 to 3 years they'll come out and win the Big Ten West, you know, and then they'll kind of just be okay, and they'll lose a lot of tight games. They'll pull up an upset, that type of thing. But I like Stanford to beat them, beat Northwestern. I think, is that a Friday night game or is that no, that's Saturday afternoon. It's at Stanford too. Not like they have this crazy home field, you know, advantage, because they don't. But, you know, being on the West Coast in general, to an extent, they do have a little bit of that because Northwestern will be traveling. Anything different on that side? Do you think Northwestern will handle their biz? Or, I'm sorry, Stanford? Or do you think maybe there's an upset lurking there in the wings?
Stanford last year had somewhat of a down year for their standards. I would assume there'd be a little bit of a bounce back from Stanford standpoint. You're talking about two just like smart schools that happen to have really good football programs. Both are kind of that just kind of gritty offense that get together.
One of them has a former quarterback that quits. No, I'm just kidding. It was just a joke. I'm not trying to get down on Luck. He's down on his luck.
I'll lean towards Northwestern just because seasons ended last year, I think they're maybe going a little more of a positive direction. Now, again, Stanford, they had a pretty weird year last year for their standards, so I wouldn't be surprised to bounce back. But I'll lean Big Ten on this side.
And like I said, like maybe a couple times, it's not like this is a jam-packed marquee matchup week. There's a lot of games flying under the radar, and we'll name a couple of them, give our picks and whatnot. But you mentioned BYU being scrappy when you're talking about your squad, USC, and you're right, they are. They're very scrappy. And Utah has to go to BYU and try to scrap their way out with a win. They're a 6-point favorite. Like I said, a lot of people are heavy on Utah this year. That's going to be a tricky game. That'll be a tricky game in my mind. I see that being a competitive game. Another one I'm looking at here, Wisconsin and USF. Wisconsin on the road, 12-point favorite, kind of looks like, okay, no problem. And they probably will win. But they may be able to, you know, they may be able, like South Florida might be able to sneak in there under the spread if we're going head up against the spread. It's kind of an interesting game to take a gander at as far as being a hardcore fan. Utah State, who had a really good season last year on the low, they're a slight road dog to Wake Forest. And, you know, I actually like, as far as my Saturday night upset special, I like Utah State to beat Wake Forest. That's just one I'm kind of eyeing. But as far as getting back to predictions, Florida State and Boise State, both unranked. Whoever wins this game, I'm guessing, will be ranked. How do you see this one playing out? Because, you know, with Boise State's been pretty damn consistent. They get to like 9-10 wins. They play in a good conference, not great, but a pretty good conference. And they produce talent. You know, they usually always have a good running back. They usually move the ball well. They play good fundamentals. The system has been in place for quite some time there. But, you know, is this the year that Florida State turns it around and gets 10 wins or something like that? But it is kind of strange, Marshall, to see neither of these teams ranked. Like I said, whoever wins will be ranked. But how do you see that one playing out, Florida State versus Boise State?
I think if Florida State can finally get an offensive line, I think they'll be okay. I mean, DeAndre Francois, I know he got into trouble and he's off the team. He got Blackman now, but I mean, that team, Florida State always seems to have a defense. They always seem to have a running back who's a beast. And they normally always seem to have a pretty badass set of wide receivers, but they just can never keep a quarterback healthy. Obviously, maybe losing Jimbo Fisher hurt a little bit, but that school, you know, just like, you know, your Hurricanes, they always get talent. There's never a lack of player skills, much of a lack of player skills at Florida State. So I think if you could ever just get an offensive line that could maybe keep your quarterback in one piece and let him throw the ball, they'd probably be okay. You know, I'm not sure if that's, you know, going to change this year, but I guess from an optimistic standpoint from a Florida State fan, you should have the talent and the skill to outplay a Boise State, you know. So I would lean Florida State and just, you know, keep Blackman up, standing on his 2 feet, and you should be able to out-athlete Boise State, who's, you know, drifted down a little bit. You know, they're not quite what they were when Peterson was there, you know, who's now a Washington, Chris. But I'll lean Florida State, just hopefully off the skill alone, I guess from a betting standpoint. I'm not a Florida State fan at all. But, again, I think you got more skill. I'll lean that direction for week one.
It's kind of strange, too. This one's in Jacksonville. So it's not really a neutral site, but they're trying to play it off like it is at the TIAA Bank Field. That's kind of weird. Like, huh, I guess I just won. Tickets are still at a low price available at $39 a pop at Vivid Seats, just a heads up. I'm, like, in the dark with this one, dude. I really am because, man, and you hate to do this, you know, but if you look at how they ended last year, Marshall, now the teams, I mean, they're all ranked teams. So you got Clemson, who at the time was number two. We found out how good they are. They lose 59-10. They lost to NC State, who was, you know, had a bounce back year last year. Kind of closed mediocre once they actually had to, you know, man up, but they had a good year. 47-28. Notre Dame, pretty damn good year, obviously, right? 42-13. Now, they did upset BC, who was 20th, and I remember them closing well, 22-21. But then it's like, all right, you're going against Florida, who, by the way, the last four games were just out of – they were averaging like 45 points last year. Remember, they closed really well. They got up to 11th last year, 41-14. Just getting their ass kicked, Marshall. I don't know. You hate – it's stupid to look at these. I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing. But it's just fresh in your mind. You know, you just – God, you just, the quarterback keeps getting hit. Blackman looks like he's got potential like Francois. But, man, can they keep him upright? And I guess I don't believe they can just yet. May call me a Seminole hater, whatever the hell you want. But I'm going with Boise State. That's going to be a good game. That could be the best game of the week. That could be a really, really good game. I'm looking forward to that game. Boston College, we talked about how they seem to, you know, kind of bounce back. A lot of people high on Virginia Tech this year as far as an ACC manner anyway. They're a 4.5-point favorite. They're going on the road to Boston College, though. That could be interesting. That's one of those hardcore barn burners. I got Ole Miss losing to Memphis, but I really want to see what the point spread is on that one. That's probably like a high-ass scoring game there. That's another one that kind of stands out that might be a good game. Seems like that Colorado State game tends to be good. Hey, Iowa State and Northern Iowa. Iowa teams playing each other in September tends to produce good games, am I right?
Yes. That's normally always fun. You know, and you mentioned a little while ago, Iowa State's season win total is 8. You know, I remember, like, it seemed 4 to 5 years ago, that's a team that would win 3-4 games a year, maybe upset one team. Now they're a pretty legit Big 12 force. They're obviously not up with the Oklahomas, but I mean, if Vegas thinks you're guaranteed 8 wins, you're you know, going on a pretty good path. I think that Matt Campbell coach, I remember telling you last year, like, how many more years will that dude stay at Iowa State? He's doing something right, Chris, because they keep finding ways to keep that guy around. He's having a pretty damn good start there. And you and I, they're like one of those FCS schools that normally always has pretty talented players. So that would be a pretty fun game to watch. I would assume pretty high scoring as well.
Yeah, I agree. What was I talking? Oh, I wanted to see the over-under on Mississippi State and Memphis. It is – ooh, we got – dude, this is a – according to ESPN's Football Power Index, excuse me, and by the way, this is my favorite – my co-host's favorite power index stat, right? Am I right?
Matchup predictor. Yeah, big time.
51.6, Ole Miss – 51.6 to 48.4. I mean, this predictor thinks they're just going to roll up into the Liberty Bowl, Memorial Stadium, and just run Memphis out of the building. I don't see it. We're at 67.5. I'm going over. I'm going over, and I'm going Memphis. That's what I'm doing. I don't care anybody that knows it.
I just so you know, I do have a crappy game of the week queued up as we want to walk out the door here. Just so you know.
Good. I was about to say what's up with that. And by the way, another good game. Hardcore barn burner. It's a burner. UCLA in Cincinnati. And no, that's not basketball. 2.5 point favorite Cincinnati at home. Anybody's ball game there. Get you really excited about that. Another sneaky one, okay, this is a local product here. Minnesota, who some people think can win 9 games, some people think will win 6 games, some people think will win 5-7, or will go 5-7 this year. South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits, on the road, 8 o'clock start this Thursday. Keep your eyes peeled for that shit. That's all I'm going to say. Keep your eyes peeled for that shit. Wake Forest is a 3.5 point favorite now over Utah State. I got Utah State in that one. I think we brought that one up already. Any other games that you want to talk about before we get to the crafty pick of the week? And remember, if you don't remember this segment, I'm blind. I'm not blind. I can see. But I am blind when it comes to this pick. He literally just goes to the shit, gives me a pick, and I just do it. And he tries to find the worst team against the worst team, and you know, he's fucking good at it too, as far as picking them. Well, I'm pretty good at picking them, and he's pretty good at picking
you
them.
Are.
You know what I mean?
As you mentioned, I think that Thursday night BYU Utah should be a hell of a fun game. Like I said at the start of the show. A lot of people think Utah could win the Pac-12 this year. I think Lee Corso had a thing saying he could see the Utah winning the title. So, I mean, the Utah love is pretty high this year. I think the title love is a bit
real
high.
Quick,
but
sorry. Real quick, got it.
Yeah.
Lee Corso, God bless him. He's getting up there in age. He put on the damn Miami Hurricane thing and was like, I got Florida. They're like, dude. It's not a Gator shit. What are you doing? You know, oh, my bad. I was testing you because Michael Irvin was there. Him and Irvin, just a mess on the stage, dude. Both those guys just going at it. They could sit there and just yell at each other all day and hug each other when it's all done.
Oh, that's pretty good. But, yeah, I think that Utah-BYU game should be a lot of fun. I could see Utah winning their part of the Pac-12. The national title game's a little tipsy, but – I think that'll be fun. Sadly, my boy Lane Kiffin has to start off the year going to Ohio State. I don't think that will be a nice opening season game for them. Fortunately, I do think Florida Atlantic will have a nicer year. I know Kiffin had a great year. The first year won the division. Last year was kind of a down year. Hopefully he bounces back. If you've never listened to the pod, I've always had a special place in my college football heart for Lane Kiffin, so you'll hear about him. 3 times a show. That's my quote. I got to hit. If I don't,
yeah,
I get fired. And Chris,
he gets paid for this shit.
I paid in my own heart. But I think that's about it. You kind of touched on the main ones. Because pretty much every other main team is playing a team that they should take business or should take care of pretty easily, pretty easy business.
Right.
I mean, Georgia, Vanderbilt, that's kind of weird that two SEC teams got to play week one. That must be a scheduling situation where it had to happen.
Right.
I just saw that. But, yeah, and to answer your question, Memphis, the over-under is 68 for Memphis and Mississippi. So if you want to see football, Memphis, a lot of high-scoring football, Memphis, Mississippi, or Memphis, Ole Miss should be a pretty damn fun affair. Now to get to what I normally consider my favorite part of the show, unless I get to brag about a USC or a Missouri victory, and lately those have not occurred that much on the show.
No.
Let me see where I just had it. Normally I find a point spread that is very close. Normally the point spread is within a pick'em to 3 points. But this one stood out to me because the garbage of a team that is mentioned in this game, I've never seen them favored by these many points since, since Ray Rice. that's a little bit of a hint for you, Chris. I got to imagine you can pull back the memory a little bit there. Rutgers, who I believe the past 2 years had to play Ohio State, Michigan State back-to-back, and at one point I believe lost those 2 games back-to-back by a score of 80-3 or something very similar in that mathematical area.
But they played hard. They play it hard, though.
They're gritty. They show a lot of heart.
They know stuff about engineering. They know engineering stuff.
I think their season win total this year is 3. Last year, I believe, was 2.5. They're playing Massachusetts. And Rutgers, and this is Friday at 7:15. I always give Chris a preview. Let him find it on ESPN. So Friday, 7:15. I believe that stands for an Eastern time start. Rutgers is a 15.5-point favorite. A team that loses 2 games in a row only by a consecutive amount of points of 80 is somehow favored
When you said loses, I thought you were going to start to say like some teams, some players that they lost from last season. Like, holy shit, dude, you really did your fucking research. All right, keep going, sorry. It's like, oh, they lose them.
You know, their kicker it walked on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's tried out for a spot. Yeah.
He's a quality kid.
He's a great kid. You know, he's got a 4.0 GPA, obviously, being a kid from a high academic school like Rutgers. But so it's a Friday night game. You know, if you need something to bet, and you know, if you lost the Utah BYU bet, here's how you make your money back. It's on the Big Ten Network, so it's on most people's cable packages. It's at the HighPoint.com Stadium in Piscataway, New Jersey. And Chris, I'll let you take over. By the way, when we do this, we always like to mention famous athletes who've been there before. The sport doesn't matter. I believe this is a Marcus Camby versus Ray Rice before he was a bad person. So the Ray Rice Marcus Camby showdown in Piscataway, New Jersey. Let me know how this one goes for you in your mind, brother. I'm curious to see.
That's right. This was Ray Rice, the stand-up community guy. At least that's what we thought back then for Rutgers. And, of course, it's Marcus Camby. I mean, tight end, he's got tight end and defensive end written all over him. You just need to put on about 100 pounds. This is a good matchup, dude. I mean, it's going to be a nice sunny day, 86 degrees there in Jersey. So it's probably going to smell. No, I'm just kidding, Jersey. I'm kidding, Jersey. Just kidding. We know you're in the outskirts. Anyway, before I get in trouble here, I'm going to go with those Rutgers. I think you served this one up for me. I appreciate it. I'm going with Rutgers. This will be the only time that I'll pick Rutgers to win a game this year or even talk about Rutgers probably. But this is it. You know, they're a grinded-out team. They are a Big Ten squad somehow, some way. We won't get into that. There's formerly Big East. But they're not a pushover. You take away the Michigan game last year, 42-7, and they grinded it out against a pretty good club. So I'm going the Rutgers. What are the Rutgers? What's their
Scarlet
name?
Knights.
Scarlet Knights. I'm going with the Scarlet Knights over UMass. That's what I'm going on week one. Thank you for that.
If they cover, I will gladly give Rutgers props, because I don't think your Rutgers team has any business being a 15.5-point favorite. But if they are, I cannot wait to find Massachusetts games this year, because if you're a 15-point dog game one to Rutgers, your season's going to be awful. That is not a promising start for a Massachusetts team when you're walking into Rutgers Stadium as a 2-touchdown dog. That's a segment we'll do. A lot of times the arena names are pretty funny. It's the best part of the show, in my opinion. It's the funny, silly stuff. But normally, Chris hits at about a 70% clip. So if you bet these games, you're normally going to profit. Obviously, this week, the point spread's outrageous. But we normally hit about a 70% clip, so this could be a very profitable, fun part of life. But any last touches on pre-week one, in between week zero podcast ready to go?
I don't think so, but you will need ESPN Plus to see the games that we talk about in the crafty pick of the week, because they're not televised generally.
yeah.
But last year we did get two of them, especially one of them that led off the college football final show. So we got ourselves some miracle stuff that happens in these games. These games actually tend to be pretty damn good. I don't watch them, but I watch them at the end. Okay, something just happened. Okay, so Marshall dropped. Something just dropped. We're going to get out of here. You guys enjoy the week. We'll be back probably next Monday to get, you know, all the recap as far as week one. And, of course, you know, check out these betting lines and preview and predict week two. We'll be out of here. Usually Marshall shuts down the show, but he dropped randomly. All right, you guys take it easy. Peace.